Let me tell you first, it's such a small world. I wasn't sure actually what Pastor Stan and Michelle were doing, except I knew they were meeting with people and reaching the lost and preaching and a lot of the things you do when you go on a mission trip. But I saw a picture on Facebook of them standing next to a man that I met several years ago at Word of Life Church. And I got so excited. His name is Apostle P.G. Vargas. And when that, I think the caption said something about him pioneering 7,000 churches, I thought, that is not an exaggeration. I met that man, and he became a Christian as a young man and was very persecuted by his own family. I had the privilege of going to dinner with Pastor Brian Zahn and Perry and some of the other staff, and I happened to sit next to this apostle. I'm telling you, while he talked about his life and surrendering to Christ and being kicked out of his family, and then the stories of how he trusted God just for his next meal, while he's talking, I'm crying. I've never had anybody affect me like that man did. I thought, I have got to compose myself. I'm sitting here having dinner going, because I'd never been with someone that had been persecuted like that. I got so excited when I saw the picture. And then after Gene died, he happened to be there a little while after that and came over to me and hugged me and prayed for me and explained that Jesus would be my husband. Again, I'm in tears, just sobbing, you know, and Jesus is my husband. So it's Tom, and he's gone again. He is at the Christian Church in Lathrop teaching this morning. So we pray for him as he leads a Bible study. But Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to be able to preach the gospel. We pray for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage off of our lives as we hear the word, to know we know the word works. It changes our lives, and we pray that that would happen today. We pray for this congregation. We rejoice that those that are rejoicing today and everything seems to be going for them well, and we also pray for those that are hurting. We bear one another's burdens, and Father, help us to be those kind of disciples that open our eyes and see people that hurt, people that rejoice, and we can be those people that are right there with them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we are talking about, as a matter of fact, the first time I spoke at Word of Life Church, which was about 1992 or 93. Pastor Brian Zahn had never heard me speak, but his wife, I think, had recommended me. And so he took us to lunch, Gene and I, and said, Linda, on Friday night, I want you to preach. And I thought, oh, my land. I don't think he'd had a woman preach before, and he hadn't even heard me. But I thought, preach something that's very familiar to you. You that speak know what I'm talking about. Don't come up with a new subject. Do something that could just roll off your back, so to speak. And so what I spoke on was Ruthless Against the Devil, which I have changed it quite a bit since then because I've lived quite a few years since then. But the song was so perfect today because we have victory in Jesus. Amen? Victory in Jesus. And yet, often we don't live like that because we're getting beaten up sometimes. Why do I call this ruthless? It means don't have any compassion for him. Show no mercy. Sometimes we have an attitude of detente. You don't bother me, I won't bother you. Guess what? He's a liar. He will bother you. You're the one that loses when you decide to be passive against him. So we should be ruthless against him, which would mean be ever present, be alert, know your enemies, study his strategies. Let's look at John 10:10, and I'm going to take it out of context. If you'd stand with me, we'll read this verse together because this is the verse to me that very much shows us the contrast between Jesus and the devil. The thief, that's the devil, does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. Would you just concentrate a few moments on that so you don't forget what he's like? He has come to steal. How many really just detest somebody that takes something that doesn't belong to them and it happens to be yours? Doesn't that make you want to be ruthless against that person? Steal, to kill. We know he has killed people. And to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You may be seated. Look at the contrast. Now this whole account is about Jesus as the good shepherd. The one who lays down his life. The one who laid down his life. He's also talking about a shepherd in the natural, making the contrast. One cares about the sheep. One will lay themselves down for the sheep. As a matter of fact, in that day, the good shepherd would get them in the fold, get the sheep who, he says, know his voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. I am telling you, the longer you know Jesus, you will quickly recognize the nature of the devil. You will understand the difference. The voices that get dropped in your head. The love of God, the encouragement of God, even the conviction of God, but never accusing, never berating, never belittling you. How many have ever heard the other voice? Oh, you shouldn't have done that. I mean, talk you into overeating, for instance. This little voice of the flesh or the devil, eat some more, eat some more. And they're like, I ate the whole thing. I shouldn't have eaten that much. And then there's the little voice that says, you shouldn't have eaten that much. You don't have any discipline. It's just amazing how weak you are. So that would be more like the voice of the devil. But after a while, as you get stronger in the Lord, you know the difference. So the good shepherd literally laid his body on the threshold so the wolf could not get past him to the sheep. Now that scripture says the hireling, which would be the devil, if the wolf came, he'd run. And so our good shepherd laid down his life for us, the sheep. And that's the way you feel as a good parent, isn't it? I would die for my kids. I wouldn't want my kids hurt for anything in the world. That's the nature of our Savior. And so when we understand that, we'll stop being a pacifist. We'll know that he is mean and he's out to get us. But what we'll see today as we study, as we walk uprightly before God, oh, he'll try some things, but the Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No, not one, but every tongue that rises up against you will be condemned. See, you have to know who you are in Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, I actually got ticked off at the person. I was giving them a ride to a meeting, and I was the speaker of the conference that weekend. By the way, ladies, I hope you can attend the women's conference coming up in October. That'll be lots of fun. But the person got in my car and said, wow, this is going to be a really good meeting because the devil's really been tormenting me. And I said, it's going to really be a good meeting because God's going to show up. Because we've been studying, we've been praying. So see, you can't have faith to pray that God show up and then keep believing the devil's stronger than God. He has been defeated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Does that irritate you? It's like you're elevating the devil. What do you mean it's going to be a good meeting because the devil tormented so much? If that's your belief system, that's likely what is to happen to you. But hopefully as we go through some scriptures here today, if that has been your attitude, you will change your attitude. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter 5? In the first part of the fifth chapter, it's written to elders and how to shepherd the flock. But I want to start in verse 5 that says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you know the origin of Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the angel of light, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him, he was an angel in the presence of God with Michael and with Gabriel. But because he was proud and wanted to be equal to God, then he was thrown out with a third of the angels. We're talking about millions. By the way, devils do not beget devils. There are no new ones. We're stronger. There's more of us. We've come legally into the world by being born of a mother and a father, and then born again. We've come legally. The hireling has come illegally into the earth. But he is here. And then 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves. This is the way to resist the devil. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 7's interesting that it's put in there. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That means the whole of your care. Take time to slow down and cast the care. How many would agree that we all periodically have cares? Because the world, the earth, our life doesn't always go the way we want it to. But we have a very big God who says, would you slow down? That's one of our biggest enemies, is hurried disease. Just slow down. That's what I learned to do when I was going through a hard time with Jean being sick and dying. I would just get so fearful, I'd think I was going to have the world's worst anxiety attack, and I would literally sit down on the floor and apply this scripture. I need to give you these cares, these concerns. See, if we exalt God and we keep believing how strong he is, you know what? The peace of God would come every single time upon my life. But you know what happens? We get in too big a hurry. We think we can be on the run saying, I cast my care, I cast my... No, we can't. We have to slow down to cast the care. These are the ways to beat up on the devil. He loves it if we're anxious and worrisome, because when we are, we're not trusting God. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is on this earth still. I can't even get into trying to understand all of this, but he's defeated, and yet he's not thrown into the lake of fire yet. But we have authority over him. Can everybody say amen? We have authority over him. So he seeks, trying to pick off the weak. That's what a hireling would be. They'd be trying to pull you away, take the sheep away, and then this self-serving hireling would eventually destroy the little lamb instead of the one who has laid down his life for us. And so we have to be vigilant in our walk with God, vigilant in our fellowship with one another. This is an unusual day today where people think, oh, if I go once a month to church, that's good enough. No, it's not. No, it's not. To keep yourself filled with the power of God, the Bible says in Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. See, isn't that a form of pride? Well, I just do it myself. And I guarantee you those TV preachers can't come hold your hand when something's going on. And thank God for them. We've gotten some great teaching by listening to several of them. But don't you want a shepherd that can be right there with you, holding your hand and caring about you, crying with you, ministering to you? So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around. Brian Zahn used to say he'll study you for 20 years, 40 years, if he has to lay a trap for you. Once in a while, just have the nerve to say, since I know the nature of the devil, God, what trap would he lay for me? I did that once in the middle of Jean being sick, because I thought, I am so weak. I feel like the weakest person on the universe. I mean, you can love God with all your heart, but I tell you, when there's battles, sometimes you just feel weak, and that's the time to humble yourself. I said, what would he do? He told me. I'm not going to tell you what he said because I was embarrassed by what God told me. Tried to argue with God. You know me better than that. I would not fall in that kind of trap. It's like, you asked me. I told you. Man, I took it very serious. That's part of being vigilant. Know yourself better than the devil knows you. Admit your own weaknesses. Ask other people to pray for you. You've got friends you can trust that aren't going to be gossips to talk about you. What if Jimmy Swaggart had trusted somebody with the pain, the things he was going through? I mean, a wonderful evangelist fell and has never been the same since. It's okay to use his name because it was all over the press. It was already out there. What if, I kept thinking, what if he'd had somebody he could trust and say, I've got to tell you, I've got a problem. I'm filled with lust. And wherever it came from, I don't know. But what if somebody in private had helped him work through that? The Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens, and there are people that we can trust. Resist him, it says, verse 9, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of grace, who calls us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Church, take your walk very seriously with God, and he'll always lift you up. He will always help you to get to the other side of the trouble you might be having. One of the reasons I can preach with some conviction with this, with a lot of conviction, I grew up with a mother. Whoa. She went to church about 3 times a year. I didn't hear her saying a whole lot about Jesus. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. I thought that's what I heard. I thought that's kind of scary, talking about saying grace over meals. But you didn't want to mess with her. We didn't wait till Daddy got home. She could take care of us. She's on her way to work one day. In those days, there aren't the power locks, so you don't have the other side locked. It's open. She is stopped at a stoplight. One of my favorite stories about my mother. And a man makes the mistake of trying to get in her car. I've always thought about this. I thought, my mother never said in the name of Jesus. I know the name of Jesus. If she could keep a man from getting in the car by just her own intimidation, looking at him with her fist, she cussed at him. That was my mother. She cussed at him. You will not get in my car. She's littler than I am. It's like, okay, lady, I don't want in your car. Now, that's the way we ought to be when we get up in the morning, that the devil, because of Christ in us, would say, I don't want to mess with you today. I don't want to mess with you. I've told this story before, and it's worth repeating. When Gene was so sick and dying, and I was so grieved even before he died, it was hard. It was so hard because he had Parkinson's disease, but he had a brain tumor, and he was not the same person that he'd been. So I'm dealing with somebody that's not the same person. And I wanted to protect him, so I didn't want a lot of people to see him in the state, so I carried a lot of it myself. Thank God for Stan and Michelle. Said, Mom, if I'm going to help you, you have to move over here. So I was still on staff at work, driving back and forth, very tired, and yet I had to be here so my son could help me. And so I'm sitting there not saying a word in my house. I'd actually had a cover over my body before that. I'm telling you, that's how bad I was. But what I want you to see is I'm still standing. The devil didn't win. You can get that bad and that depressed and a spirit of oppression come upon you, and you can still overcome it by the word of God. And so while I'm sitting there, this little voice says, there's no help for you in God. I thought, I know where that is in the Bible. It's in Psalm 3. Turn there with me, if you would. tell you, I know what I talk about because I've had my own torment. Lord, how are they increased who trouble me? I don't know what the psalmist was going through. Have you ever felt like that? Oh, I don't, how they are increased trouble me. And it has to do with our minds so many times. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, here it is, there's no help for you in God. That's what was dropped into my mind. But I knew the chapter. I knew the verses. But you, O Lord, this is what I got up off that chair and took my Bible. This is what will get the devil every time. It doesn't matter what he says. Doesn't matter the trap he lays for you. If you know the Word of God and you know your God, I stood up and said, but you, O Lord. I'm sure he left the room right then, whatever that little fuzzball devil was. When I said, but you, O Lord, he thought, that's it. I've been found out. I'm gone. But I kept reading because I needed to read to myself. You're a shield for me, my glory, the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. That's how you beat up on the devil, is knowing the Word of God and quoting the Word of God. Gene was in the hospital in St. Joe for an extended period. We had just built a house. Sometimes as faith people, we think nobody's ever going to die or nothing awful is going to happen to us, but something awful was happening, and we still built a house. Only now I'm out in the country in this house, barely gotten in it. I'm not saying that was the smartest thing to do at that time, but we did it anyway. I mean, you can make mistakes. You can just be dumb, and God will still get you through to the other side if you'll keep crying out to him. Amen. And so there I go, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm so tired. I go into this new house in the country. Nobody's around. The fear would grip my heart. That's a spirit of fear. You know, I won't have time to preach all this today, but there are spirits, things in the Bible called spirits. Spirit of fear would grip me as I'd come into that house by myself. I never lived by myself. I went from my father's home to my husband's home. I didn't go to college at that point in my life. I didn't live with girlfriends in an apartment. I went from there to there, and now I'm alone in an unfamiliar house. And I just practically shake, except I was so tired that I could fall asleep finally. But a dear friend, Joyce Shaver, called and said, do you want me to come? Boy, we all need friends like that. You know, if you've ever read The Languages of Love, mine probably is, give me your time. If you care enough about me, give me. How many have read that book? I don't always need to be hugged. I just need somebody to show up sometimes. I said, Joy, I'll tell you what. I'd been there about 5 nights by myself. I said, if I don't learn to face this myself tonight, I can't have you come every night. I've got to face this fear. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I believe that, but I'll tell you, when you're hit with it, you're not actually always just walking it out. But I tell you, I was so tired by the 6th week. My mother came to visit me, I think, if you believe in that, and I don't. But just remembering my mother, I'd walk in that door and say, wherever you are, just come on out. I'm in the mood for a fight. So just if you're here. And so it lifted. That's being ruthless against the devil. Sometimes you've just been pinned down so many times, it's like, come on, I need somebody to hit anyway. I need somebody to just take a ball bat. I hope you're here. I hope that was that attitude of my mother. I'm telling you, you don't have to be like that every day, but you better be like that part of the time. when your child's fever spikes to 105 or 106 and you're scared, you better roll up your sleeves. And I did that with Jimmy when he was a little boy and had had epilepsy. We were in a motel, no doctor, nobody to help me. But all of a sudden, that little body started shaking. And I'd been so scared because I'd had a dream one night when he was quite smaller than that. And in the dream, Jimmy was falling down an elevator shaft and a ledge flew out and the devil was on the ledge and said, "You will stop casting out demons or I will kill him." And in my dream, I said, "I'll serve the Lord Jesus no matter what." But then when Jimmy was attacked with epilepsy, I thought, "I think I'll stop helping people who have demons." Really, I backed off. So I'm not doing this anymore. This is what it's going to cost me. Jesus cast out demons. We're supposed to cast out demons. Even if the devil tries to intimidate us, we are to help one another. I've seen people that were so oppressed by the devil, if I hadn't cast the devil out of them, it's hard telling what would have happened. I'd rather cast the devil out of somebody than deal with people's flesh. Let that soak in. See, that's our will. I'm going to do it my way. But when a person really is tormented by the devil, you can say in the name of, I don't want to point my finger in case somebody has something in here. You can point your finger and say in the name of Jesus, come out of that person. There doesn't have to be a show. There doesn't have to be anything except the person really wants to be free. And so that night was my night of reckoning with Jimmy. And here it came again. And I rolled up my sleeves, so to speak, and said, "Okay, devil, one of us is going to win. One of us is going to win tonight." And I didn't know which one was going to win. But I was basically saying, I need him healed or take him home. I cannot stand this torment any longer. I began to worship the Lord. And then I had my hands on him. He was really hot. And then I began to tell the devil, "I bind you in the name of Jesus. You will let go of this boy. This boy is mine." See, you have to know what is yours. And don't let the thief take things from you. I mean, some people, a mad dog could be in the yard with rabies. "Get out, get out." And you got to say, "Get out of this yard." I had those dogs. Is Morgan in here? I'm trying to get to the car this morning. And I've got, I said, I don't know about the kids. They're all, "Oh, they're so sweet." I'm, "Get off of me. Get off of me. All of you. I'd like to get to the meeting with that dog slobber on me this morning." Oh, my. Okay, that's another story. So as I lay there with my hands on him, the fever broke. His doctors were at Children's Mercy Hospital. I never told them. I said, "We'll just see." You can believe God. But I thought, I'll just see. Well, as time went on, little by little, well, it looks like he doesn't need this medicine anymore. They just kind of weaned him off of that, and he never had a seizure again. And I've been casting devils out ever since. You have to face the fear sometimes in the name of Jesus. And the things you hold so tightly will probably be the thing that he will torment you with. And so you might as well believe in God and that you are victorious and you can get to the other side. I have to tell this story too. My brother's a year younger than I am. And our little sister, who's 9 years younger than I am, told my sister and I, that's a year older than I am, there were seven of us. And so you can imagine the action in the house with the parents gone a lot. They said, "Billy, I heard Billy say he's going to climb in the window tonight and scare you after you're asleep." Really? Billy's coming. And so, oh, wow, he came. And I'm on one side of the window and my sister's on the other side, and when the little fingers, that's the thief, I tell him, I talk about you being the devil. Fritz, you know Bill, don't you? He's coming through. There's his fingers, and we go, That's how you ought to deal with the devil. Now, I'm not talking about dealing with people's flesh. We were just children. I don't even think I've ever repented because I think it was a good thing. He shouldn't have been coming in our window. You've got to be ruthless of people. Put a hedge of protection around your house. Pray every day, come kingdom of God. Be done, will of God, whatsoever is in heaven, come to earth this day. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. We often quote the Lord's Prayer, and we don't even know what we're saying sometimes. Deliver me from evil that will try to come upon me and the things that I love. Stand up for what's yours and what's right. And don't let the hireling, do not let the devil come and steal. Do you know what belongs to you? It's very good to take inventory and know what belongs to you. I probably told this before too, but in Africa, first time that I met Don and Lorraine and Roz, we were at Roz's house in Harare, and we didn't have a lot of money. It was my second missionary trip, and we had $200 in the suitcase. There was company for lunch, and I checked later, and somebody had stolen the $200. Her company had gone into the bedroom. Now get this picture. Opened up my suitcase and decided to take my money. I'm talking about being ruthless against the devil. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. I lost $200. What should I do? Then, no, you do not steal from me. And people would try to talk me out of it. Well, they've already changed it, blah, blah, blah. I thought, I don't care what they've done. It's my money, my suitcase, my stuff. We need it for the trip. I'll do what I want to with my money. Nobody's going to take my money and do what they want to do with my money. It was a matter, we weren't there a long time, so it had to be the next day or the day after. There was an envelope put into the windowsill. There was the $200. See, that's what you have to do. Don't just take it lying down. He is defeated. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. But in the Bible, it tells you to stop sinning. Stop opening up the door for the devil. And if you sin, we're talking about habitual sin, but if you sin, he will forgive you. But repent quickly. Keep things right with people so you keep your relationships right that you're able to. And repent. Make things right. Live in peace with God. There are things that actually attract demons. Fear. That spirit of fear. You know, some people think they can watch anything. Doesn't matter. Just watch whatever they want to. Sit there so scared and wonder why a spirit of fear has come upon their life. So stop attracting demons. May I tell you about a spirit of divination? That would be opening up the newspaper in the morning. I think I'll get my guidance from the horoscope today. I don't need to check with God. I can find out what the stars say and all that. That is opening yourself up for a wrong spirit. Can you say amen? Now see, I don't know that anybody else is old enough to remember Flip Wilson. Anybody? The devil made me do it. Remember that? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. See, we bring a lot on ourselves. King Saul died because of consulting a soothsayer, whatever you call a fortune teller. Tarot cards, all of that. If you've ever done that, repent today and bind the devil. Ask God to forgive you and say, I will not consult the spirit of evil again. If you're a drinker, don't get drunk. Don't let the spirits take over your life while you're out of your mind, or if you're on some kind of drugs. Get rid of that. Get rid of that so you're not turned over to the wrong spirit. There's a spirit of oppression. If you have dealt with loss and things that make you sad, Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Nobody has to be depressed and oppressed of the devil. Can you say amen? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So for this purpose, the Son of God is manifested to destroy all the works of the evil one. Corinthians says, now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of the knowledge in every place. This is a picture of a victory parade in Rome. They would have a celebration as the Roman general and the other soldiers would come back into the city, and they would celebrate the victory. That is what that is based on. It's called Via Triumphalis, victory parade. That's where we are today, in a victory parade. And when it talks about the fragrance of his knowledge diffuses, in that parade, leading the parade, were the dancers celebrating. And they had flower petals, and they're throwing them all over. So you could... And then behind them was this loud, raucous band. And you could smell the parade. You could hear the parade. The crowds have lined both sides of the street. They're so excited as this chariot carrying the Roman soldier, which would be a picture of Jesus Christ coming in on the white horse. And we're cheering and celebrating and chained to the chariot were the defeated foe, naked, just for people to jeer at them. Look at you, look at you. You lose, you lose. Now, I do not suggest jeering at the devil and asking for trouble. I believe in walking uprightly, being in the victory parade all of the time, saying, now thanks be unto God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Will you stand to your feet? How many believe we're in a victory parade today? Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands to God and thank him. Thank our good shepherd for laying down his life, shedding his blood for us, that we could be saved, not only saved, healed, and delivered, but we have authority over all demonic spirits. We thank you, God, that there will be that day. He is thrown into the lake of fire, and we will be in your presence singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I pray for this congregation. I pray that we will stay filled with the Holy Ghost and your fire all the days of our life, being good witnesses, bringing the light into the dark and dying world. And I thank you for that, God. If anybody has dealt with things they shouldn't have and opened up the door for any demonic forces, we bind those spirits now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and command them gone. They have no right to stay in your life. As you confess this to God, lift up your hands and let's praise him. Amen. Shout hallelujah with me. Hallelujah. Praise God.
The enemy's been defeated.